Welcome to the LifeLink Church Podcast. We hope you hear something that will make a difference in your everyday life. If there is anything we can do to be a bigger part of God's plan for your life, then please email us at info@lifelinkchurch.com and let us know. Now prepare your hearts to hear God's word to you today.
You're going to get out of this what you decide to pull out of it. God's not going to force something on you, but he'll definitely feed you if you'll open your mouth and take it in. It's going to be good. You know, in the office, before we get started, let me just say, one of the things that we always do here in somewhere in the worship journey, typically it's in the worship through singing, but we always pray for one of the other Bible-based Christ-centered churches, and so we've not yet done that today. And it's one of our commitments to be a part of a big, big, big picture of what God's doing. So we're not the biggest church, but we get to be a big part of what he's doing out here. And so today we're going to be praying for First Baptist Church of Chandler, Dr. Paul Smith. So as we pray for the scriptures this morning and we do everything else, let's go ahead and start the journey of prayer by praying for this. Would you just open your hearts and hands and let's pray this morning. Father, we just thank you for your faithfulness. God, we love our brothers and sisters at First Baptist Church of Chandler and Dr. Smith and the team that provide the leadership to that great church. And today we ask that as they worship you and singing, God, you would fill that place with your presence, that they would feel you and be drawn into a real encounter with you that changes their lives. Let them leave different today than they came in because of what you've done. As they worship you through giving, God, let them return all the tithe into that storehouse and give generously so that their lives are filled with your supernatural provision. God, as they meet you in your scriptures and worship you there, transform them into new people by changing the way they think. Let every guest that visits that church, whether in person or online, be connected with who you are there. Lord, and if it's your will, be drawn back and planted there. We thank you, Lord, for what you're doing there. Thank you for what you're doing at LifeLink. Lord, we give you this moment. We give you this journey through your scripture today. We want to meet you today in the pages of your scripture, not just study about you, but actually encounter you. Lord, we're opening our mind to you. We're opening our hearts to you. And we give you thanks in advance for it in Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen. Well, I was in my office before the service started this morning. I was just prayerfully kind of going through the flow of what I'm sensing in the spirit in my heart just for our encounter with God today, both in singing and through giving and in the scripture. And we always ask God to meet us in each one of those expressions of worship because we never want our relationship to God to become ritualistic. There's no power in rituals. The power is in the relationship. So we ask God to guide us in each one of those expressions. And then when we follow him, he takes us places we couldn't get to without following his lead. So that's one of the reasons why we're so intentional with sensing and feeling our way through the worship journeys at LifeLink. So as I was in the office just before the service, I was saying, God, what do you have for us? And we were going back through the impressions he gave me this morning. I sent my sermon scriptures in, I think, on Thursday of this week, and got up this morning and just had a huge download of some things that God was really emphasizing in my spirit this morning. So I've added a few more things, and I feel God really pushing in on us today. And I couldn't be more excited about where we're at as a congregation and what God's positioning and preparing for us today. And so as I was going through that, I felt the Holy Spirit say that he wants to heal people's eyes today. So I don't know who that is. He didn't give me a name or even a picture of a face. But is that you? Okay, you can have that then. But the impression I got was he wants to heal structural problems with people's eyes. So whether it's glasses or not, I don't know if it's glasses, but it's a deep something that's impeding your vision that's structural in nature. So I don't know what that is. And it could be more than that, but if you're willing to actually be a part of facilitating what God wants to do in that, would you be willing to join me in prayer? And let's agree that the kingdom of heaven manifests in healing today. Y'all good for that? Would y'all rather just see God do what he wants to do? Is that good? All right. So if you feel like God's touching your heart with faith to believe, it's no pressure because there are seasons of God's divine touch. But if that's you, one lady, and I can't see your face, but I see your hand. So if that's you, anybody else? I see a hand over here. Anybody else back here? Okay, good deal. Here. So lots of eyes. Okay, good stuff. All right. Well, this is not hard. Nothing about miracles are hard because it all comes from God. It's the kingdom of heaven on making its entrance into our experience. So it just takes yielding to trust and believing. So, but we get to be a part of it. So just open your hearts and hands and let's just pray. So Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you for how good you are. You're an amazing Father, and we celebrate your goodness today. You make provision for everything that we need in our journey, including the healing of our bodies. Jesus, you paid for this with the shedding of your blood. You bore stripes on your back and on your body for the healing of ours. So God, in accordance with what you're doing today, we just thank you for what you're doing by healing eyes, that you start a healing work now. And we don't care if it takes an hour, if it takes a moment, if it takes a month. It doesn't matter to us. So we just want to yes our way into what you're doing. So we're here. We're available. Our trust and our faith is in you. And we thank you in advance for the healing you'll do in people's eyes. We give you praise for it in Jesus' name. Everybody said? Amen. Amen. Good stuff, yeah? Let's just give the Lord some thanks in advance. So I want to start this morning by saying thank you to Pastor Cherie. Are you out here? There you are on that side of the auditorium. So thank you for the message on that you gave, the Triggered series message. And how many of you got the Lord talking to you through that series? Good stuff. So I want to thank you for that. I call her Pal. So if I get a little informal, y'all okay with that? So, Pal, I want to thank you for stepping up to the plate and swinging for the fences. That was a powerful message series, and I know God's got some mileage out of that. And then Pastor Lacey on Mother's Day. Pastor Lacey, thank you for that. Did you guys get a little something out of that? So I really appreciate you being willing to step in at the last minute and just carry that message. I'm very excited about what God did through your willingness to do that, so thank you. I want to start a brand-new series called Life on Purpose. And I want to talk to you today just out of a flow of conviction that God's given me from his scriptures and just kind of work our way through some things because I think God wants to do some heavy lifting in our understanding and really bring a sense of transformation. There is an insight God gives us in Romans chapter 12, verse 2. And I like all the translations. The one that's at the top of my spirit this morning is the New Living Translation. It says, don't copy the behavior and patterns and the customs of this world. And that's easy to do, isn't it? It's just all around us. In fact, it's popular to do that. It's what makes it so compelling. We feel compelled to copy those behaviors because that's the accepted norm. But God's saying, I want you to know there are two different kingdoms in the flow of your experience, and you get to choose one or the other, and there's no life-giving power in the kingdoms of darkness and the natural structures of the world. The power for life change is in my kingdom. So don't set your life based on those patterns as if that's how I've designed things to go. But instead, let me transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. So God actually wants to bring transformation into who we are. And the longer I live and the deeper I walk with God, the more I realize I'm really desperate for that change. You would think by now I should be settling into a nice rhythm of being there. But what I've discovered is the longer I walk with him, it's like the more I want of him. And so I myself am in this season where God's saying to us as a congregation, all last year was a journey through trust. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. I don't know if y'all remember that or not. But the scripture says, trust in the Lord with all your heart, and what? Lean not to your own understanding, but in all your ways, acknowledge him, and he'll direct your path. So if you think about what God's telling us, he's like, I'm going to take you somewhere you can't get by yourself. For you to get there, you're going to have to actually trust me and follow me. So some of the language, some of the overtones in our contemporary use of English would lend themselves to a very casual approach or view of that scripture. But if you look at that verse 6, in all your ways acknowledge him. It's not tipping your hat like, you know, the old man upstairs or the kind old gentleman like Father Time or something. It's acknowledge him means hear him align your life to what he's saying and follow him. Acknowledge him in all your ways, and then he'll what? He'll direct your paths. I want that. And deep inside, you want that too, don't you? So God's been working on it. This year, he turned the corner with us and said, I want to do a work of helping you step into understanding what it means to pursue my kingdom. And so if you look at Matthew chapter 6, verse 31 through 33, this has been our series really all year long. We've been in this journey. Therefore, do not worry, saying, what should we eat, or what should we drink, or what should we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek, and your heavenly Father knows you need all these things. Verse 33, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things have added to you. So we've been in this journey all the way through the year, and it's about the Lord expanding our understanding of who he is and how he works in his kingdom and what he wants to do through our life. And so this series on purpose is not just another off-the-shelf series on, you know, four things to help you achieve your purpose and all those things. We're going to feel our way through what God has to say to us, because today we're in a different time. And I want to know what he's saying today. And sometimes it takes the faith of a child to be able to do that. In fact, Jesus said, if you're actually going to step into me and follow, step into my kingdom, you're going to have to come to me like a child. Children say the funniest thing, don't they? I heard a story recently of a little girl who was talking to her teacher about whales. And the teacher was explaining that whales are awfully big, and they're majestic animals. And the little girl said, yes, in fact, Jonah was swallowed by a whale. And the teacher said, no, Jonah was not swallowed by a whale. The little girl said, yes, he was. My Bible says he was swallowed by a whale. And the teacher said, well, sweetheart, whales are awfully big animals, but they have really small throats. You can't get a human through the throat of a whale. It's anatomically impossible. And she said, my God, my Bible says Jonah was swallowed by a whale. And she said, the teacher said, no, he wasn't. And so the little girl says, well, when I get to heaven, I'm going to ask him. Yeah. And the teacher said, well, what if he didn't go to heaven? The little girl said, then you ask him. Yeah. That's kind of harsh, isn't it? The point of the message is not specifically the anatomical structure of whales' throats, but the faith of a child sometimes is actually necessary. Jesus said it's necessary for you to actually come to me that way, because the way you think naturally is not going to accomplish what I want to do in you and what I've created you to do. So we're coming to this series on purpose, because it's time. It's time. Jesus said, don't chase after the things that we talked about and the things that the world around you is chasing. He said, pursue the kingdom of God and his righteousness. So the series context that we gave it was, God created you on purpose, with purpose, and for a purpose. But what is our purpose, and how do we stop chasing other things? The question is, we're compelled to chase something. But how do we stop chasing things and pursue him and his kingdom? Right. And the last line of this little phrase is, find the joy of living in God's purpose. Everyone say, find the joy. Find the joy of living in God's purpose. So what we're going to do this morning is we're going to start at the beginning, because the beginning is a great place to start just about anything. And I'm going to share with you some impressions that God gave me this morning as I was just, I've been up since 2 o'clock this morning, so if I look exhausted, there's kind of a natural reason for it. But I want you to know this morning, I'm really, really excited. I'm not angry. I'm not discouraged. I'm not depressed. I feel great on the inside. But if I look a little wrinkly on the outside, just disregard that. I just need some moisture on my face, and I'll be better. But God's been talking to me this morning. I want to share some things with you. Genesis 1, verse 26 starts off this way, saying, then God said, let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness. So God is saying we're creating mankind to be like us in our image. Is that what the Bible says? Okay. So, and then here's the context of the beginning of understanding there's purpose in it. So we're not just little mirrors of who God is. There's purpose for it too. So they may rule over the fish of the sea, the birds of the sky, over the livestock, and over all the animals, over all creatures that move along the ground. Verse 27. So God created mankind in his own image. Who created mankind? Does the Bible say God created mankind? Okay, so God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Who created them? God. Male and female, he created them. Verse 28, God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and increase in number, fill the earth and subdue it, rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the sky and over every living creature that moves on the ground. So there's lots actually going on in this particular collection of two or three verses. I want to pull out the two things that are related, I believe, to what God wants to impress upon us this morning about who he is, who he created us to be, and the context of purpose that we're here for. So I'm going to ask that you would open your heart and open your mind and let God rearrange some of the furniture of your own living room in your mind, because that's where we live. The first thing I want to talk about is that we're created in his image. He created us male and female. He wasn't confused about that. He designed us that way. And then he said, I'm creating you this way, but I want all of you to reflect my image. I'm creating you in my image. So both male and female reflect who he is. Everybody see that? So God created us. He created us male and female, and then he gave us his likeness in his image. So part of what we are to do in this journey through life is to reflect his image in the creation that he created. I know that's hard to get your mind around a little bit, but I want you just to hear what God said. I created you in my image, male and female. I created you to reflect my image in the creation. So we're going to get to purpose in a moment that you typically think of, but the first thing I want to think about or to highlight that God is impressing on us this morning is God created us in his image on purpose. God created us in his image on purpose. And I'm share with you a series of about 10 or 12 different thoughts that the Holy Spirit gave me this morning that are tied directly to this. Because God is working to do something extraordinary in our generation to offset what darkness is trying to do in our generation as well. There is a demonic agenda being propagated in the secularization of our culture right now. Darkness has an agenda for what it's trying to accomplish in the moving and the rearranging of ideas and contexts and narratives in our culture right now. Darkness is actually working to do something. At the essence of what I believe darkness is working on is it's working very hard to eliminate the element of a creator from the fabric of the operational narrative of humanity. Darkness is trying to cancel God in the mindset, the operating system, the cultural accepted norms, the narratives, the language, the values, the things that guide our decisions. Darkness is trying to cancel God, our creator, out of that. The advertised goal of removing God or our creator from the way humanity lives, what they're trying to say is, we want to do that so you can be empowered to do whatever you want to do. In other words, you can be your own God. Do whatever you want, however you feel, whatever you think, it doesn't matter. Whatever identity you want to take on, just be whoever you want, whatever you want to do. I don't know if it's obvious to you yet or not, but that's one of the things that the enemy has been working a protracted strategy since really the 50s and 60s in our nation to get to this point. What started as the sexual revolution in the 60s was not about people choosing to have sex with whoever they wanted to. There was an end in mind, and it's to get to the point where we are now, where there's no delineation between the sexes. So darkness doesn't mind to play the long game. But I have it on good authority there's somebody else playing a longer game that darkness is playing. And God's not confused, and he's not messed up. He knows exactly what he's doing. That hidden, the advertised goal is we want you to be empowered to be and do whatever you want to be and do. However, the hidden agenda is to trap humanity in a hopeless search for significance, an impossible search for fulfillment and joy, almost like the addiction cycle. I don't know if you've ever either struggled with addiction or had a family member or a close friend who struggled with addiction, but addiction works in part by starting the cycle with an incredibly euphoric experience. And then for that little season of time, difficulties, life challenges, hard things, pain, whatever else is been a part of the experience, that is diminished, and what's left in its place is a feeling of freedom, empowerment, joy, euphoria, all those other things. And then that whatever the addictive issue was begins to wane, and then the cycle begins, the feelings all come back. Do y'all see it? And in our mind, in our brain, we've been programmed to go, well, I know how to get that feeling again. I'll go back to that substance or that action or that person or that experience or whatever it is, and it'll come back. The underlying issue is the pain, the problems, the things that were coming from something at work in our lives did not get addressed and dealt with. I know. It's okay. Never got addressed. It just got masked for a second. And then the feelings went away and we had to go back and get more. The problem is, over time, the underlying issues still remain. It takes more of whatever it is to get you there, to get you there again. And eventually, you completely burn out in a cycle of hopelessness. And in the middle of all of that, you destroy everybody around you that loves you. So God created us in his image for a reason. He created us on purpose, with purpose, for a purpose. He has a plan. But when you eliminate the creator, you remove the effect of the designer. Let me read that again. When you eliminate the creator, you actually remove the effect of the designer. When you remove the effect of the designer, you erase the uniqueness of our divine design. So if they can get God out of the picture, then there's no sense of design. So we have no divine design. When you erase the uniqueness of divine design, you untether us from the intrinsic anchor of purpose. When you remove design, what goes with it is the intrinsic conviction of purpose. A hammer knows exactly what to do as a hammer because it's designed as a hammer. A hammer makes a terrible screwdriver. It makes a phenomenal hammer, and it's happiest when it's hammering, right? It's fulfilled. It loves every jolting impact because it was designed for that. Without the anchor of purpose, listen, we are reduced to floating on an endless ocean of enticements, chasing happiness to fill the hole in our soul. I'm going to read that again. Without the anchor of purpose, we are reduced to floating on an endless ocean of enticements. Just the whims of whatever's out there. Chasing happiness to fill the hole in our soul. How many of you know happiness feels great? In case it's been a while, it does. The challenge with happiness is just tied to circumstances. Happiness is tied to happenings. And when the happenings change, the circumstances change, typically the happiness goes with it. So without the anchor of purpose, we are reduced to floating on an endless ocean of enticements, chasing happiness to fill the hole in our soul, and everything out there seems to be okay. Oh, that'll do. That's fine. You can have that. You can be that. Oh, you want to try that? That's fine too. You can do this. You can be that. You can do, y'all see the issue? But divine purpose is also tied to conviction of destiny, which leads to both the joy of fulfillment and of accountability. Y'all still there? Are we connected? Okay, God's trying to connect with us to give us a deep conviction that he created us in his image for a reason and for a purpose. And purpose, his purpose matters. His purpose matters. Divine purpose is tied directly to a conviction of destiny. There's when you have a sense of understanding what your purpose is, the purpose actually gives you momentum called destiny. There's something in you that actually gives purpose direction. That's what I'm going to. That's what I've created. That's what I'm created to be. That's what I'm called to become. So in other words, purpose has direction to it called destiny. And destiny loves to be enjoyed by fathers. I don't know if you've had this experience. For some people, it's sports like baseball or hockey or soccer or dance or recitals or whatever. But you ever see a little kid who's stepping up to bat? That little kid is looking for somebody as he steps up to bat. When they're young enough, they are looking for dad or mom. You ever seen them? No? This is going to be a really long sermon if we don't connect. So y'all give me a little talk back here, just a little something to work with. But sure enough, he steps up to the plate, he's looking, and he looks to see if his daddy's there. Or he steps out on the stage to perform in the drama or the dance. Where does he look? He looks to see, is my daddy there, or is my mama there? There's something in us that's designed that way. We want to know that not only are we doing what we're supposed to be doing, but dad is watching. It's built into us. What's that tied to? Purpose, destiny, and the ability to share the accountability of I accomplished what you created me to accomplish. It's built into it. But here's the bottom line. The bottom line is this. If God, our creator, is canceled from our core conviction, then the path to soul-filling experience of his joy is effectively hidden from our view. In other words, there's a reason why so many people in life around you are just slogging through life in almost either a manic or a panicked chase for something else to fill that soul of theirs. But that is not the condition that God created us to live in. What I really wanted to do was take about 10 minutes and talk us through, here's what darkness is trying to accomplish. Then we're going to switch gears and say, but here's who God is, and here's what he's created us to be, and here's what he's created us to experience. Now listen to this. Psalm 139, verse 13 and 14 says this, "For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb." Who created my inmost being? God. So the psalmist who actually captured this impression and wrote it down and gave it words is acknowledging, you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. Verse 14, I praise you because I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. We're going to read that again probably two or three more times. I want that to sink in on us this morning. The psalmist is saying, you created me. Everyone say, you created me. You created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. What am I doing? I'm yielding to the knowledge that I did not create myself. I'm not my own. You created me. You're the one who put me together. You did it by your own design. And look what happens on the heels of that acknowledgement. Listen, you did this. You created me. You knit me together in my mother's womb. Now listen to the overture that comes out of him. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. That's not a mechanical, robotic utterance of memorized diatribe. I'm supposed to say this now. Can you hear it in his voice? You created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. It hits me. I'm made in your image. You put me together this way. You're incredible. I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. And I know that full well. What's he saying? It hit me. I don't have to pretend to be something. You made me, and the way you made me, by your own divine design, according to your sovereign power as my creator, you knit me together this way. So I may want to be this. I may feel like I'm that. I may want to do this, but I'm going to submit to who you created me to be. Why? Because you're God. You weren't confused. You put me together. You knit me this way. You built me this way. And when I yield to that, guess what comes on the heels of that? I praise you. I praise you. That's the tone of his soul. So when it comes to the finding the joy associated with God's divine purpose, here's the bottom line. If I'm going to stop chasing other things and find the joy of living in God's purpose, it starts with submitting my soul to God as my creator. In other words, if I'm going to find the joy that God's created me to live by, and by the way, joy is different than enjoyment. Joy is different than happiness. Joy is a different substance altogether. We're going to connect the dots with it in just about another 5 minutes. We're going to get there. I'm trying not to get there too fast because the Holy Spirit's putting this together in a sequence that I believe can really help you. I know for a fact it's helping me. But if I'm going to actually live in the joy of God's divine design, I'm going to have to give up the God chair. Now, the older I get, the easier that becomes. I used to be pretty impressed with myself. But I'm losing all the impression. I just want him. I want him in his rightful place in my life. So when it comes to purpose, number one, reflecting God's image and his glory as he created me within his creation, that is the essential foundation of the experience of joy that he's created me to be in. I'm going to have to give him his God chair back. Got it? But the second part I want to reflect in that really is illuminated or illustrated in the way back in Genesis is, number two is fulfilling our divine design. So we're created with design, but there's something that happens when we fulfill our divine design. You got a few more minutes in you? Okay. I want to look at some insight that's going to connect the dots in Matthew chapter 25. It's not on the screen, but I want you to listen to this because this is the parable of the talents. Matthew 25 starts in verse 14. For the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country who called his servants and delivered his goods to them. And to one he gave 5 talents. Who did he call to do this? It was his servants. Everyone say servants. He delivered 5 talents. And talents is a measure of money. It's not a skill in this context. It's a measure of money. Then he had received... He gave to one 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to each according to his own ability, and immediately went on a journey. So the scenario is that the boss or the owner of the company called some employees in and said, I'm going to give each of you a sum of money. And he gave them to them based on their own abilities. Then he left. Then verse 16 says, the one who had received the 5 talents went and traded with them and made another five talents. So he turned 5 talents into what? 10. Likewise, he who had received 2 talents gained 2 more also. But he who had received one talent went and dug a hole, dug in the ground and hid his Lord's money. Verse 19 says this. After a long time, the Lord of those servants came and settled the accounts with them. Verse 20 says this. So he who had received five talents came and brought five other talents and said, Lord, you delivered me this measure of five talents, and look, I've gained five more talents beside them. Verse 21 says this. His Lord said to him, now listen carefully, well done, good and faithful servant. He says this, now listen carefully. This is why I'm coming to this point. You were faithful over a few things. So you accomplished what I empowered you to accomplish. You were faithful in that. Now I'm going to make you ruler over many things. So you fulfilled what I assigned you to do. And in correlation with you fulfilling that, I'm going to now add to that an increased level of responsibility. I empowered you. I designed you. I designed that experiment, the experience for you. I put all that together. You did it. You fulfilled it. Now I'm going to increase that for you. Now watch this. Then he says this. Enter into the joy of your Lord. Okay, now watch this. Oh, I'm going to finish it, and then I'm going to come back and draw the connections. We all still good? Y'all need another joke or something? Okay, just checking. Verse 22 says, he who also received the two talents came and said, Lord, you delivered me these two talents. Look, I've gained two more talents besides them. Verse 23, his Lord said to them, same thing, listen. Well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things. So you've done what I've created you. I set you up to accomplish. You actually fulfilled it. So you've been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. I'm going to take what you did and expand that now. I wouldn't have done it except you fulfilled that. So he said, you fulfilled what I've created that experience to be done. You fulfilled it, so I'm going to add to that now. And then he says this, enter into the joy of your Lord. Enter into the joy of the Lord, your Lord. Okay. Two big ideas here, and then we're almost done. And you guys, I'm going to give you an A+ because I can see the wheels are turning. You guys are doing great. But I still got to connect a few more things for you because God is wanting to show you some things about how joy works. This tied directly to purpose. Jesus was using this illustration to say, I'm going to empower you with purpose. I'm going to give you I'm going to design you for that. I'm going to empower you with purpose. As you fulfill the purpose I've given you, the assignment I gave you, as you fulfill that, as you do that, then I'm actually, and the experience you have when you come to give an account, as you give the account, I actually want to know you're going to enter into my joy. So fulfillment, expansion of responsibilities, and enter into the joy of the Lord. Okay, who's got the joy? The joy is in the Lord. It's the Lord's joy, right? How do we enter into the joy of the Lord? In this context, he says, I've given you a purpose. You fulfilled the purpose I gave you. Well done. Enter into my joy. In other words, inside the design that God gave you, the purpose he gave you, is the access point to his joy. There is something that is released on the inside of us when we fulfill what we are created to be in our design. Enter into the joy of your Lord. So fulfilling their responsibility given by divine assignment was their access to God's joy. That's different than how most people think of joy. Most people think of joy as doing nothing. I'm happy when I have nothing to do. I'm happy when I'm just relaxing. I feel joyful that way. But joy comes from functioning according to the design given to us by our Creator. I know none of us want to hear this. We want to just say, all I want is the happy dust. Just give me the happy Jack, the happy dust, the happy drink, the happy whatever. I just want to be happy. But God is saying, hey, I actually created you to do something. I gave you a divine design. I gave you a purpose. And as we connect in relationship and you follow what I've given you to become, and we journey through life together and you begin to do this, you're going to experience something that comes from me called joy. And it's not just happiness. It's not just momentary fleeting senses of feeling enjoyment. Those things are fine. Listen, I love eating a big cheeseburger. I get enjoyment out of cheeseburgers. They're amazing. There's something that happens when that just the perfect combination of fat and salt hits the palate and enjoyment bombs just go off in my brain. I love it. Sorry, Dr. Hope. Do you know how intimidating it is to have to talk about that kind of stuff right in front of your doctor? But hey, we're real around here. But that enjoyment is not joy. That enjoyment is not joy. There is something that we get in our life from God when we acknowledge who He is, how He created us, and then yield into that design and say, God, You're God, I'm not. I'm sick of trying to create joy in my life. I've run the cycles, I've run the addictions, I've done all the things. What I really want is to tap into the joy that comes from who You are. And God wants you to know this morning that there's a portion of who He is and the joy that He created us to be fueled in life by that comes from being aligned with Him relationally and then doing what He created us to do and fulfilling the purpose. There's a fulfillment, there's a joy in that that comes from Him to us. Now, let me stop for just a moment and give a shameless plug. In about 15 or 20 minutes, Pastor Sheree is going to start step 3, which is our growth track class that's directly designed to deal with this particular issue. For people who are ready to say, God, I need to know who You are. I need to know who You created me to be. We've actually got a class designed to help people start to fill in this blank. So please consider, even if you've been through it before, if you've got a fresh sense of new season, new time, I want to take a deeper look at this, then invest 75 more minutes of your Sunday in a class that may change your life forever. But the bottom line is this. God wants us to know when it comes to purpose, that purpose matters. And purpose is a divine function that He designs into who we are. It does not work like what secular humanism or Middle Eastern mysticism works. We don't just empty our mind and hope to discover something. God says, nope, nope, nope. I want you to meditate on who I am, meditate on My word and My ways. I'm going to show you who you are, and I'm going to show you what I've created you to become. Or secular humanism, which means just like gaze at your navel until you figure out what you want and then decide that's what your purpose is going to be about. And here's 16 ways to get what you want out of life. That's a dead end street to nothing but despair. God wants you to know that He created you with purpose, on purpose, and to accomplish a purpose. You're not random, you're not a mistake, and you're not an accident, and you're not just a cosmic bowl of slimy jello just trying to figure out what to do with yourself. There's a divine design in you that He gave you, and He did it on purpose, for a purpose. And as we decide to yield to His lordship and say, God, then I submit to who You are. I submit to Your lordship. I'm going to discover who You are, who You created me and called me to be. I want to lean into that. I want to reflect Your image. I want to reflect Your glory. I want to fulfill what You created me to do. In the middle of that combination of experiences, He said, there's going to be something that comes to you. You're going to enter into My, what's the word? Joy. Everyone say joy. Joy. Let me talk to you a little bit about joy. Joy is not just happy gas. Joy is not God's reward for enduring a hard season so you forget about it. Joy is something else. Let me give you a couple of scriptures just so you know I'm not making it up. The joy of the Lord, when it says enter into the Lord's joy, enter into the joy of the Lord, the joy of the Lord is something divinely designed to have a function in our life that's unique. The joy of the Lord is an unstoppable power in the lives of God's people. Listen to Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 10. It says, the joy of the Lord is your strength. If you're not sure where that is, write that down in your notes, because I know all of you are taking notes. I can see your screens in your face. That better not be Instagram or Facebook. Unless you're sharing the service, and then that's cool. Nehemiah 8, the second part of verse 10. The joy of the Lord is your what? Strength. Hey, listen, everybody. You need strength, but not the strength of your personality, not the strength of opinion of others. You need the strength to be and to accomplish what God's created you to be. You're going to need the strength that comes from God. And that strength, he says, is joy. The joy that we enter into is not just for our personal enjoyment. It's strength. It's the joy of the Lord is our strength. It's the fuel that gets us through the challenges we need, that we face. We don't get through them by the force of our personality or just by the well wishes of other people. We face down and defeat the overwhelming obstacles that are facing all of us by the strength that comes from the joy of the Lord. Got one more scripture's worth in you? Okay, Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2 says it this way. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles us, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Now watch this. So he's saying there's going to be things tangled all around you. We've kind of talked about some of those things this morning. But he says, here's what I want you to do. Let us throw those things off and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. What's he talking about? Filling and fulfilling our purpose. How do we do that? Fixing our eyes on Jesus, verse 2, the author or the pioneer and the perfecter or the finisher of our faith. Watch this. Now listen carefully. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Here's what I want you to see. Jesus, who is God in the flesh, who is all God and 100% God, 100% flesh, but limited his actual function to the fleshness under the anointing of the Holy Spirit, not his divine nature. That's kind of a hard idea, but there's about 14 sermons I need to preach to give you the full picture of that. On this one, I'm just going to ask you to trust me. It's called faith. Jesus actually left heaven, stepped into earth, the experience of atoning for our sins, to pay the price and the penalty and the weight of our sins, to be the reconciler, provide the reconciliation back with the Father, all those powerful and beautiful things. But it took him an enormous amount of strength in order to get through that process. That was not an easy assignment to accomplish. And he did not do it just in his godness. He did this under the anointing of the Holy Spirit. So he did it in a way that we could actually follow through. Now, none of us are going to have to pay for the sin of mankind. But what I want to point out to you is how he did what he did. The scripture said he was able to get through all of that because of the joy set before him. In other words, he focused on the joy that he knew that would come from fulfilling his purpose. And that gave him the strength in order to be able to get through what he had to get through in the Passion Week. So joy is not just a nicety. When we're talking about purpose and anchoring your life with divine purpose, who God is as God, not your idea of him, but as he actually is, and aligning your life to him and what he created you to become, and fulfilling what he gave you, his divine purpose to accomplish. All of that says when you step into that, then you begin to experience something called God's joy. God's joy. Which the Bible says in Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 10, the joy of the Lord is your strength. The joy of the Lord is your strength. That strength is directly tied in part to us finding and fulfilling God's purpose for our life. Which brings us back to the first element, reflecting God's image and his glory within creation. We do all of that by walking out the second point in the context of relationship. So the big ideas that God's working in us today about purpose. I believe that one of the bottom line things he wants us to get a hold of is this. He's real. He created you on purpose. You're not an accident. For a purpose. So on purpose and for a purpose. When we step into relationship with him and begin to live out that purpose, there's something we step into called his joy. That joy is the strength we need in order to become complete in who he's created us to become. So when we're talking about purpose, we're going to talk about what some of his big ideas, the big picture ideas of who he is in us as representing him and in his kingdom on the earth, and then how we serve together as a church family. We'll talk in the next couple of weeks about all those big ideas. But what he really wants to connect with us this morning is this. He made you on purpose, for a purpose. And that purpose is not inconsequential. If there are dimensions of joy missing in your life, I'm just going to say it may be because there are elements of who he's created you to be you're not actually fulfilling yet. And the path to the fulfillment of that purpose and the joy that goes with it comes from the yielding of our heart to say, God, then I need you to be God. And that relationship with him is everything. That relationship with him is everything. How much time do I have? I'm almost out of time. Thank you, my friend, whoever said that. Listen, relationship is actually everything. Relationship with God is everything in life. I'm going to finish with Matthew chapter 7, verses 21 through 23. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of the Father who is in heaven. What's he saying? Just because you say religious stuff doesn't mean you actually step into heaven. But only the one who does the will of my Father. What's he saying? What's the will of my Father? In part, who I created you to be and accomplishing what I created you to become. In other words, God has a will. But on that day, many will say, Lord, Lord, did not we prophesy in your name and drive out demons and in your name perform many miracles? In other words, God, didn't we do all the Christian stuff? And we did all the anointing stuff. We did all the big miracles. We did all the big stuff. And he'll say, hey, you missed the point. Verse 23, I'll tell them plainly, I never knew you. I never knew. I don't want to hear those words. I don't want to say Christian stuff and do Christian things thinking I'm okay. What I want more than anything is to walk through life in a deep relationship with God, drawing from him the joy of life, accomplishing what he created me to be, doing what he created me to do, and fulfilling the purpose of my life. That's how we're created. And God wants you to know he doesn't tease people. If you'll yield to his lordship and step into that relationship that says, Lord, remember Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 we started with. Trust the Lord with all your heart. Don't depend on your own understanding. Listen, our understanding will get in our way. Acknowledge him in all of your ways and he'll direct your paths. What's that directly tied to your purpose? So in this season, I'm going to wrap up now. This is my third landing. Preacher's always given three grace landings. I'm on my third one. Now, there may be 3 points to my third grace landing, but we're eventually going to get there. We're just moments away. But in this era of time, what God is looking for are people he can show himself faithful to, who actually will say, I'm yours, God. My life is in your hands. You can use me for anything. You can use my life for anything. In this season of time, when our country gets darker and darker and darker, and more fraught with division and just antagonism and vitriol and the venom of cultural divides everywhere. God is saying, I need my people to be bright. I need them to be the salt and light. And so what God is saying to us this year, Matthew 6:33, is not just simply a fill in the blank so we can actually get the sticker on our Christian score chart and say we learned a verse, but we actually seek his kingdom and his righteousness. And God says, I'm going to add everything else to you anyway. We're going to watch God take that yes, that childlike innocence, that childlike faith that says, I'm willing to say yes before you even, it's like, I'm going to sign the contract before you even write it out. God, I trust you. I trust you. I may want 16 other things, but you're God and I'm not. And what I really want deep, deep, deep inside is to fulfill who you've created me to become. So I'm signing my name. You write the contract and I'll live it out. And in that posture, as we worship him in spirit and in truth, we live our lives connected with God in that sense of supernatural relationship. God says, I'm going to take you. I'm going to fill your mouth with words to say to people around you. I'm going to do miracles through your availability. I'm going to display my kingdom through you. And everything that you're looking for, I'm going to add to you anyway. It's just you won't be chasing it down looking for happiness. And isn't it better that way? So we're going to push the clutch in here and pause this particular series on the importance of God's purpose. And the way we step into it and experience the benefits from it is the simple yieldedness of our heart to say, God, you're God, and I'll follow you. Next week, we'll pick it up and look at some other kind of facets of this, but I just want to pause this week on the relationship issue. So would you bow your heads and close your eyes? I'm going to pray for you, and then we'll be dismissed in just a moment. There may be some people in here today who know for a fact that you're not in good, tight, solid relationship with God. You may have Christianity down pat. You may have all the ritualistic expectations down, all the maneuvers, all the phrases. You may know it inside and out, but deep inside, you actually know that you're not walking relationally with God in a yielded way. You're just kind of doing what you want, hoping he'll bless it. But God says, I've got so much more for you. And if that's you, in just a moment, we're going to pray a submission or repentance prayer, which means, God, I submit my life to you. I'm going to turn my life around and give you control of my life. I'm going to follow you from this point forward because I want to be in relationship with you. We're going to do that in just a moment, but I want to give you just a moment to say, yep, that's me. So if you're in here today or you're worshiping with us online, we're at the point of decision. If that's you and you're ready to say yes, then just acknowledge that on the inside. Yes, that's me. I'm going to ask if you would just open your hearts. Let's all pray this prayer together. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, come on everyone. Heavenly Father, thank you for loving me enough to tell me the truth in your Bible. Lord Jesus, thank you for dying on the cross to pay for my sins. I'm asking you to forgive me for every sin I've ever committed, that you wash me, cleanse me, and make me new. Today, I'm yielding my life to you. Come into my heart. Take the control of my life. Fill me with the Holy Spirit. I welcome you, Holy Spirit. Strengthen me, I pray. I give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Is God good or what? I love, love, love who God is and what he's doing. Come on, put your hands together. Let's celebrate. God is so good.
Thank you for listening to today's podcast. We pray that you are blessed by God's word. For more information, visit lifelinkchurch.com.